Oh, I'm sorry. I was waiting for our song.
We were waiting for a cue.
Our talk line song. Okay, it's okay. We're going to move right into the show. This is Talk Line for the YK Delta and beyond. And I'm Diane McGachran, and co-hosting with me is...
Carolyn McLaurin. My Chupik name is Miraska, and good morning on this beautiful morning.
We are so lucky how beautiful it is. It's really wonderful, and it's good to have a lot of gratitude on days like this. Well, on every day, actually.
Gosh, and I think we still have time to pick blueberries. Mm-hmm. And I heard the silver salmon are running, so I'm looking forward to putting up strips soon, I hope.
Yeah. Yeah,
very And I'm not
nice.
Sure if that bin is still open,
you know,
is it?
I went to the bin over the weekend.
Oh.
I had an elder with me who really wanted something out of that bin. And we waited for almost an hour. And we thought we were there. The timing was right. There were two other people waiting with us. And they never came to deliver, so I don't know if they're not delivering every day or if it's
slowed
down.
I believe they are delivering every day. I know I went when...
On Sundays even?
I'm not sure about Sundays, but I'd go during the weekdays. I went when the red salmon and when the kings were so very few, far between. But I waited for over an hour with a Catholic priest and a lady from Jamaica. And
oh, well, now, if you had
Alex,
a Catholic priest
Alex
with you,
Mortensen.
That thing, that bin should have never emptied. It would have been full of fish.
Yes.
And then people would keep coming, and it would never empty.
It was
because the Catholic priest is among
yes,
you.
Yes, I had never met him before, and we waited for over an hour. And Alex Mortensen was there as well.
Okay.
So we just had a wonderful time getting, I don't know, I think I got about, I really scored. I think I got 8 fish.
Wow. Wow, that is
so,
a score.
Yeah.
Okay, good for you. All right. Well, it looks like we have people are jumping in. We've got a lineup of callers. So we're going to start with Gail. Good morning, Gail. Welcome to Talk Line.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Gail calling from Anchorage.
Uh-huh.
I want to talk about the food stamp issues, and I want to talk about it because it's been stuck in my head lately. I live in Anchorage over 2 years and... away from the alcohol and drug. The reason why people were bothering me on the food stamp, that they're being frauds down here in Anchorage at 3rd Avenue, 1101 3rd Avenue.
Okay.
Besides Brother Francis and Beans, when they receive their food stamp, or if they receive their SSI checks, they go to alcohol and drug.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to use it for food to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Around here, they've been doing that. I'm the one who watches my food carefully lately. And they've been killing people down here at 3rd Avenue area, in Beans area, and 3rd Avenue at Brother Francis.
Uh-huh.
The reason why these people are homeless and they've been taking alcohol and drugs, especially the high rate, is spice and marijuana and cocaine and some drugs that they're having. The reason why these people are not open their eyes, because their eyes are being blinded, talking about the issues that they're not there. I've been watching it really closely. And they've been calling, when there's smoking spice, it end up in the hospital, like original hospital in Providence and AMNNC for the spice. The spice is high rate up here in Anchorage. And when they want to go home, they won't go back to the village where they were at. They've been blinded and isolated. I want to talk to it about a new pick.
Yeah, can I
money say... Anchorage, Kana Chukka, Yugunak, Khwatan, Teylaga, Anchorage, Yugunga, 2 years Anchorage, Tchama, because marijuana, manna, spice, akru, ati, tuk, mani, Brother Francis, ami, bin, sami, shu, food, tampak, SSI check up to receive a cut to garden, dang, I'm on kos marijuana nun drug nun asilung nun damak nun si lakay play mouth suku yuk nun na homeless talaga nun sir kasi si lakay kalagot kuhulog yuk nun kansting sukatin patu yu na kay mo gusto kay so so wakat kani kanat lang ka kan suchit dun kas kartaman. I realized I talked to the social workers then, the court for the issues for these food stamp, and when they received their SSI ticket, go to the they isolated for the spice and marijuana. The largest.
I think it's choices we make, and it doesn't single out anyone. Alcohol and drugs, I know, are everywhere, so it is not just in Anchorage.
Yeah, it's the largest place there. They've been doing that, and when they moved up here to Anchorage, they end up drinking it, and people are being killed up here. Nearly the most teenagers are 45. Teenagers are being killed up here.
Yeah, it's very sad, but it's, again, it's the choices as adults as we make.
And adults are like 48 adults who are being killed by a spice.
Okay, thank you, Gail, and keep safe right out there, okay? Yeah. Thank you for your call.
Memory put through Marie. Bibi, Lupi, sister-in-law, Ilai, Ilanka, so umiyako, so kinkaput, Marie. We love you, Marie.
Okay, thank you.
Someday we'll see you. Love you, family. Bye.
Koyanak fakala, let me be safe.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so I got it. Next we have John. John, you're on the air. Welcome
morning
to Talkline.
Morning. I was listening to the lady earlier in I think it's alcohol is the number one problem, heroin addiction also. Mm-hmm. That, and they're doing a study on that. All this pharmaceutical drugs that, like...
Hello? Iris, what do you want us to do? I guess John got cut off, and please call back, John. We apologize for that error. Casey, you're on the line. Good morning, Casey. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning.
Okay.
See, I'll be real brief, because I'm... just making an announcement here for the fire department for our sportsman's show, which is a next weekend, Saturday the 19th. It's got a hunting sportsman's theme to it, and we'll have a lot of local, not vendors, but, well, some of them are vendors, but people there. Search and rescue. I went through the list last week, but anybody that wants a table can sign up for a table that has sportsmen and camping and hunting type things that they'd like to sell. And of course, we're going to be selling lots of brats and burgers and that sort of thing. It's a nice social event. And it'll start at 10 o'clock. If people want tables, they can show up at 9 to set up their tables.
What date is that again?
It's next Saturday, the 19th, at the fire department.
Okay, good.
We'll go from 10 till 3 o'clock or so. And I think we'll have some door prizes and lots of good food. We're just finalizing our ambulance campaign here, trying to get some of the final equipment for it. That ambulance will be on the last barge here heading to Bethel.
Thought I saw a barge come in that had an ambulance on it. Or was that something different?
Well, I'm sure I would know about it.
How
long ago was that?
This year. I mean, it's, you know, a month ago or something.
Yeah, no, that was not our ambulance.
Okay.
I don't know if some, maybe a
different kind
another
of vehicle.
Village or something got an ambulance.
I don't know. Okay.
So, all right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so August 19th at the fire station, another rummage sale with tables and food you can buy. Those are always real nice. Fundraiser. All right, John, welcome to Talkline. Sorry to drop you before.
I got cut off from Mark. Casey got my place. And he's got a good cause. Anyway, I was talking about the alcohol issue and the Oxycontin. That leads to stronger addictions, you know. They say, theoretically, they say marijuana leads to other drugs, even though that's not true. It's alcohol that does all that stuff. In my theory, thinking about it. But anyway, people who need help should reach out and help. It's a choice like you made, like Marilyn was saying. Either you choose to be sober or you choose to continue life when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know. Then you look for approaches to help you. That's a good, and they have a lot of good sponsorships in Anchorage and here in Bethel. If you need help that you can seek, you know, and you need to have somebody, a friend close by you, who can enable you to take better health care of yourself. You know, somebody you can trust and talk to.
Yeah.
It's a good way to start approaching being sober life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to mention one thing. I had a raincoat and pants that were sent from Wasilla. My niece and my nephew.
Oh, nice.
And it's not in the mail yet. It's been 2 weeks. They might have put the wrong box number on it. So I'm pleading with everybody who has a box unexpectedly has my name on there. Could you please turn it into the hospital or call me up or mention it on Talk Line and come pick it up? It's rainy season. You know how that feels.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
Anyway, I was teasing my nephew and my niece and my her uncle, my in-law.
Uh-huh.
I said, if I see anybody with a yellow reindeer on, I'm going to approach them to find out what kind it is and them how nice. If it's a Columbia reindeer pants and coat, it's got to be mine or somebody else's. I don't know. You rarely see people who wear yellow reindeer here.
I sure hope you get your package,
John. I got
John.
A laugh back on there. Yeah, berry picking coming up and kind of sitting down and getting my buns all wet trying to pick berries. It ain't very fun. Mm-hmm. But when there's a lot of berries, you don't think about it.
Yes, exactly. I hope you get your package, John.
Okay. Everyone, please have a good day and please wear your life jacket and don't drink and drive. And if you're pregnant, also refrain from that. Watch pedestrians. Please don't try to text while you're driving either.
Yes.
So everyone have a good day. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, John, for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you so much for your wonderful advice there, John. We needed to mention the numbers here. The numbers here to call here are 543-5985, 543-2756, or toll-free 1-800-995-8954. Or you can also email us at radio@kyuk.org.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the lines are open, so feel free to call in. You have a couple of announcements?
Well, pretty exciting. Actually, school is starting soon. That's pretty big excitement, Al.
It is.
School is starting soon, so prepare your children to get ready for school. Get them up early. Make sure they're fed. Give them lots of love. And I also know that September 1 through 3 is the wonderful Tuksuk Bay Blackberry Festival.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that last week. So that looks like a lot of fun. There's an ad for it in the Delta Discovery, and it lists some of the prizes that will be raffled off and some of the activities that will be there. So please check that out. We have an email that I think Carolyn is going to read for us. Carolyn?
One, this one? Can you get that out of the way?
No, we're having a little technical.
Okay, which one
it's
is
okay.
Lynn Blue? Hello, am I on?
I don't hear you.
Okay, good
there you
morning.
Go.
I think I'm on.
Now you are.
Okay, wonderful. The Bethel Fair is August 25, 26th, and 27th. The deadline for photography entries are August 24th. At the Cultural Center, and deadline for perishable entries are August 25 at the Cultural Center. Main showing of entries, August 26th and 27th at the Cultural Center. Cribbage Tournament, August 25. Call Casey Burke to sign up at 545-4415. Youth Fair with 4-H. Call Rhonda at 543-2088. The Wonderful Wild Bird Show is August 26th at Bethel Lions Club Park from 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. are both of the shows. For more information on events, call Grady at 543-4548.
Okay, that sounds like a really good time. Yeah. So we have the Bethel Fair. We also have Saturday Market this Saturday. Next Saturday is the rummage sale at the fire station. So we're gonna close out summer in a good way.
Yes,
with a lot of stuff. So we have a caller, Alex. Good morning, Alex. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Excuse my voice.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, I have a couple of issues. Well, actually, a couple of topics. Because I was listening to you, and there seems to be an open topic talk show today.
Oh, every show is an open topic, actually. So whatever you want to bring up is good.
Whatever's
okay.
On your mind.
What I want to talk about is what I wrote in the Facebook. I'm not sure if anyone read it, but I know I saw a couple of likes in the Facebook. It's actually under my wife's name, but I, you know, because my Facebook's not working too well in my my cell phone, I use my wife's page on Facebook to write write my concerns.
Okay.
What I want to let the public know is I don't go for movement to take any organization to take over AVCP and YKHC.
Okay.
And the main concern I have is that the AVCP and YKHC's historical information is inaccurate in some parts of or another.
Mm-hmm.
I was appointed as YKHC board member, incorporator and board member in 1968.
Wow.
And I served on YKHC board for 14 years. And I attended AVCP conventions, and we've done our part in YKHC guidance as board members. And people like Jimmy Anover, who I understand now is in Quinnahock, and several other people who are still living will remember how we operated in those days. One thing that I want to mention, I know this is going to be a controversial issue, maybe, and I hope it doesn't, I hope I don't open can of worms. AVCP's historical information does not show mismanagement of the AVCP organization some time ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was a long time ago, but there were some concerns about management at the time. And so what happened was, people took over.
Okay, yeah.
And so, you know, Kate's historical information is also in inaccurate. I've visited both of the historical information and information that AVCP has. One thing that I want to know, let public know is that I come from I now have a big family, an extended family. I have a family living in Yukon and Kuskokwim, here in Bethel, up and down Kuskokwim River, up and down Yukon River, and down in the coast are my family members. What I don't want to see is that what happened when AVCP and YKHC organized and other organizations like housing programs AVCP has, they it took a lot of work to get those organizations going.
Mm-hmm.
And it also took a lot of work to get village corporations organized in the villages. We are in the day and age right now where some of us are kind of getting old.
Uh-oh.
After being involved as young people,
yeah,
we're getting old. But our young people are going to be taking over. And if a new organization to do something like what people are trying to do now is going to take very long time, and some of us will not live to see.
So, Alex, we're coming up on the 5 minutes. I'm wondering, are you referring to the recent constitution, the recent convention to try to develop a nation,
yes,
Nunavut nation?
Yes, because.
Okay.
My main concern is that, you know, funds on federal and state level are dwindling. And the new programs, you know, even if we want to fund those new programs, will go away. AVCP and YKC has their own programs now. So my personal vision is that, you know, if they keep these, you know, fix what they need to fix in the organizations that we have in our Delta,
mm-hmm,
it will benefit our future generations.
Okay.
Okay, I'll shut up and listen then.
Okay, well, thank you, Alex,
thank you for bringing
up another point of view.
Bye.
Okay, so we have a couple of other callers lined up. Chivak, well, you're on talk line. Good morning, Chivak. Good morning, Chivak, the whole village.
Very good morning to all of you guys, even to people of Waikiki Delta. Enjoy the day coming from Chivak, all right?
Nice.
Good day.
Okay. Good morning, Renee. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Now, Renee, I already announced your Saturday market coming up.
The one on the 12th?
Yes, the one tomorrow.
Excellent.
Okay, so now you can cut. You can go on to the other stuff.
Well, I'm just going to mention the following weekend on the 19th.
Okay.
That's going to be the Taste of Bethel. And we really would like to have, if there's somebody out there that likes to cook, we really don't have any representation yet from our Korean community or very much from our Albanian, Eastern European community. So I would encourage the cooks out there that cook in those ethnic veins to contact me and get a table.
Who should they call?
Me, Renee.
Yeah,
at 543-4538, or come by the Cultural Center and chat with me. We've decided to sell the tickets for $5 a piece, all of the items that you can go in and taste, because it's not necessarily buying a meal. It's a taste of the different foods. So you get $5 here from this one and $5 from that one. So you'd have a very varied eating. And then that money all goes back to the cook, so they don't have the expense of paying for all of the food.
Okay, so instead of $2 a taste, it's $5 a taste?
Right, $5.
Well, wait a minute now.
Would be easier that way.
Well, I was prepared to, like, you know, get 10 tastes for $10.
Well, now you can get...
Are the tastes going to be bigger now?
Yeah, it's going to be. They are.
It's going to be like a taste times two.
Yeah, it's going to. Of course, they're going to be bigger.
I think it'll be well worth.
Not
the,
that they have
well
to be.
Worth
I'm just
the
kidding.
Plate. Yum.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. We're going to have lots of good food. Lots of. I have about 15 different people who have said they'll do it, so I'm excited about that.
I know the Philippine dish. I'm going straight for. I know Filipino woman who's. She's making leche flan.
Oh,
which is one of my favorite Filipino dishes.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What day is this on again, Renee?
The 19th.
19th.
Saturday. It's a Saturday. It's over here. It's from 5 to 7:30, right at dinner time.
Mm-hmm. I love to eat, so this is...
Yeah. So come. And then the last thing I'm going to mention is we do have a Saturday market on August 26th. It's going to be tied in with the Bethel Fair, but somebody else is calling about that.
Okay.
So... There will be a Saturday market on the 26th, too. And that's all I've got.
There is so much going
on. Yay!
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you,
Thank
Renee.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. I mean, there's like not... And then in the background humming through all of this is subsistence.
Yes. More
and,
blueberries.
And then there's that. I mean, my
more
gosh.
More blueberries, more agudok to make, more silvers to put up.
Yum. You're nice to me, Carol, and I might show you, I might tell you where some blueberries are.
Oh, gosh. Yes, I'll be extra nice to you then.
I do. Actually, I do know where some are.
Yay.
That I know. I don't think anyone walks out that area.
Wow.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh,
anyway.
My goodness. Now I'm all excited. I love to pick berries.
I know. It's nice. So, okay, so we'll do the call. We'll give out the call-in numbers again.
Okay.
And our email. Our lines are, wait a minute. We have Eula.
Eula.
Eula. Good morning, Eula. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning, Diane.
It's Eula. I know Eula.
Me too.
We didn't mention, I think tomorrow is Saturday market, too.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. Are you going to be there?
What you guys are talking about?
What?
What you guys are talking about?
Well, I mean, we had someone call in because with some issues with food stamps and alcohol, and somebody called in to give some announcements about there's going to be a rummage sale at the fire station on the 19th, and there's Saturday market tomorrow, like you. And somebody else called in about... you know, the group that had met recently had their convention for the Nunavut Nation building, and this person had a different point of view on that and was sharing about his point of view, having some questions about it, not really maybe agreeing with the development of that. And then we had this elder called Eula call in. That's you.
Yeah.
Okay, Eula.
When... someone mentioned fireweed, that's why. In my time, long time ago, there was no stores around Skamon, and they would wait for freeze-up to get their limited groceries like flour, coffee, fall time. But fall time, remember, that these what we call trees, some leaves have turned yellow. You know, those small, these small brush and fireweed gets brown. And at that time, they would run out of tea.
Hmm.
And for coffee, if there's little flour left over, they burn the flour in order to have something like coffee for morning.
Really?
And for these fireweeds, they turn yellow or darker fall time. They don't pick these when they want to use them for tea. They wait until they're dried or not green anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So fireweed, I didn't taste that fireweed tea, but I tasted the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I've never made fireweed tea. Yula Huinga Carolyn Nago, my husband from Ikuriak.
Mm-hmm.
I've made fireweed jelly and fireweed honey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But people that used to use these as for yuchak or drink it or eat it, they've been there a long time. They've been using them long time. That's what they used to use for tea.
Wow.
And they get dark, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then these leaves, bushish leaves, when they turn yellow, nice yellow tea. And... but when they had, when this guy was talking about tundra tea,
yeah,
ayuk,
yeah,
they make because he didn't have no tea that time.
Mm.
They made it so strong. That this is for evening tea,
because mm-hmm.
every time they eat, they used to drink tea after they had good meal. So they had. That tea, nice, strong, make it nice and strong because there's plenty of tundra tea.
Yeah.
But they didn't sleep that night.
Oh, it kept
them
up. And
it made me think maybe they have very lots of caffeine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something in it that keeps you alert, won't let you sleep.
Yeah, so things that used to eat or drink a long time ago, to me, they're okay. You know, people knew, even they don't have no lab long time ago, they knew what was good and what was wrong.
Absolutely.
And when they find, because the food was scarce, they would find a drift of dead whale, walrus. But when the seagulls don't eat it, they're afraid to eat it.
Oh, okay.
Because it might be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to test it, they would cut up a piece, a little piece, and give it to the dog. The dog itself won't eat what's wrong there.
The dogs are very smart.
No matter how much they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But when he eat it, the fox eat it, that means to them it's safe to eat.
Okay.
So those are what I know are safe to drink or make jam or jelly. Because they used to have them a long time ago for tea or drink, you know. So I thought I would call you. And
I'm so glad you did. I really enjoy hearing like these uses for plants, and also I like that idea of connecting with the world around you, like using animal behavior to help instruct you. Like if the seagulls aren't going to eat it, that's an instruction or a caution, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I'm so glad you called.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning,
Eula. Yeah. Have a wonderful weekend. I love it when our elders call in.
I know.
And give us so much knowledge and wisdom. That was wonderful.
Do, when it's an elder, I do go a little beyond the 5 minutes. So,
oh, yes.
I mean, how, you know, at Eula.
Yes.
Precious. Okay. Do we have a... Iris, do we have an email? Is that what you were? Oh, no. Okay. So our lines are open. We'll give you the numbers again. And our email is open, so feel free to email. You can remain anonymous.
And another exciting news was that breaking ground in the village of Newtown.
I know.
Is that today?
No, I thought they'd already started to move over there.
Yeah, they have.
But what is this new thing?
I think it's so official.
This is it.
Yeah.
We're here. We're going. Wow. Well, no time, not soon enough, because it's getting close over there. Okay, so we have Timothine with the N in the...
And Timothine.
Timothine, I think. Anyway, you're on the call. You can say your name if you'd like. I'm not sure how it was typed out there. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm Timothine.
Okay.
I'm working with Julissa, and so I'm calling to encourage people to come and enroll if they haven't.
Oh, okay.
And so they can enroll as a descendant or missed enrollee, and they need to bring birth certificates and ID. And in October, the board will consider a resolution to accept new shareholders, and in December they'll be issuing shares and will be eligible for voting, dividends, board candidacy, and more. So we encourage people to come and enroll, and we're at 313 Willow Street. We're open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And if anyone has any questions, they can call 543-5420.
Okay. Now, Timothine, just real quick, do you have a sense of how many people are not enrolled who could be?
So there's we need about 10,000 more enrollees.
Okay, wow.
At least.
Okay, that's a lot. And that would come from what area? Not just Bethel, but the whole region?
Like the Calista region, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Calista. I was. Well,
yeah.
I had O and C in my mind. I apologize. But 10,000, okay, that's a lot to try to get them enrolled. Okay.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. We're on a call, Lachlan.
Okay, so next we have...
I think that's Fritz.
S-Ritz. S-Ritz.
Yes.
Okay. Good morning.
How are you guys?
G- Good. How are you?
Well, doing good. Quite a few things. First off, you know, there was a, I guess you could call it a dispute on Facebook all week, if you guys haven't been following on Bethel Bargains. I'm not going to mention any names, but there was a supposedly a elder wanting to be 70 years old, but I won't get into details of that. You
right.
know, it's,
I read that dispute.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So anyways, you know, it's nobody becomes an elder just by because of age. You know, it's just another number.
Mm-hmm.
That one person's comments, you know, make really good sense. You know, you have to earn respect before you receive respect. It goes a long ways if you're trying to help out somebody, give advice to somebody, to a younger generation, the kids or grandkids or whatever the case may be. You know, it, just because, you know, there's a number of certain age that we're not going to automatically respect you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're being disrespectful to a younger generation, what kind of outcome are you going to have? You know, the same outcome that you're giving to that person or to the group or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then majority of the people are selling subsistence food, which they say is illegal, but, you know, there's everybody's trying to make ends meet. People are living paycheck to paycheck, or they could be on welfare, or whatever it is, they're trying to make ends meet. You know, it's whether to pay rent or something, because they don't qualify for TANF, or their son might be in school, and they're trying to pay for their rent or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there it goes both ways. It might be illegal, but trying to make ends meet with you know, without selling alcohol or drugs, you know, that, you know, I don't want to give anybody ideas. But, you know, that's one of the outcries, you know, or the advice I'd like to give.
Mm-hmm.
Is another one. You know, people in the villages are always complaining about getting outside hires instead of local hires, you know, because... Well, the main reason is the outside hires, they have experience and a degree or a certificate, you know, as far as heavy equipment operator, mechanic, crane operators. You know, if we want more local hires, then the locals should be sending their next generations off to school, vocational training, AVTEC, plant operators, water operators, carpentry, electrician, police officer, judge, whatever, you know, and then just because you have a degree doesn't make you automatically eligible for that job, like Donlin Creek. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's going to be a really, really good job opportunity for a period of time, mm-hmm. but on the other hand, it's also going to destroy our subsistence way of life, salmon, caribou, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be a great job opportunity to start sending our younger generations off to school or college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one way to look at it. You know, we need to start thinking about, because now, back then, they lived off the land, fur trading, bartering. Nobody needed money back then. Now everything is money.
Mm-hmm.
Even subsistence, they say it might be free. It's not free. You got to buy gas, motor, snow machine, guns, rifles, net. Even unlocks cost. And water and sewer is getting expensive. We're even paying for that nowadays. Back then it was free.
Right. And but we're coming up on the 5 minutes there, Fritz.
We really are living at tough days, these years that are coming.
Yeah. And it does get more complicated. Subsistence and contemporary society, how those two interact is, and then you have climate changes and all that. So it's a lot to think about. But we have another caller. Thank you for waiting. This is Sheridan. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Chair Nipchuk, the interim chairman of Nunavut.
Mm-hmm. Good.
During the August 1-2-3 mm-hmm. Constitutional Convention, the people present voted me in to be the interim chairman up until November elections.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, during those 3 days, the people present were discussing how the government structure would look like,
mm-hmm.
and what Nunavut will do, mm-hmm. as far as stuff like levying taxes or public safety, tribal court, school, and all those other discussion items that they had all brought up. And our main discussion that we had was that Nunavut will not take any powers from the 56 village tribes.
Mm-hmm.
As far as sovereignty goes, that is not the intent of Nunavut. Since last year, October, the 56 villages lost their voice when when AVCP changed their bylaws, and they were no longer the voice for the 56 villages.
What was the change that they made that caused that?
The change that they made was that the executive board was the lawful board of AVCP, so that took out the very people that made the Association of Village Council Presidents. But the people wanted a voice,
mm-hmm.
a voice for the 56 tribes, so Nunavut is, I guess, starting that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a lot of pros and cons, like one of the callers earlier stated that it may be good, and why restart something instead of try to fix one of the existing organizations.
Mm-hmm.
The people tried that, but it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So Nunavut is here. The people in every village, every tribe, will have a vote whether the tribe should participate in Nunavut. And if the tribal members, majority of them, say yes, it's not going to be up to the tribal councils to say, yes, we will participate.
Okay. Can you say more about how that vote can, how will each village, all members of that community, will vote yes or no to affiliate with Nunavut? Is that how it will be?
Yes. It'll be in November.
Okay.
November elections, that's when the people will vote whether to participate in Nunavut, and they will elect their president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer, I think, at the same election.
Uzuk,
is there someone in every community coordinating to make sure that everyone is aware that today is the day to vote, whether to be in or out of Nunavut? And is this publicized in some way that people can keep track of?
Our steering committee is working on that. They are working on a web page, we are doing our best to get the word out. We're going to have I guess after our initial meetings with AVCP, Chalista, I think we're going to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone has questions on that newsreel, we made it our phone at the very bottom.
Can you say that again, please? If someone wanted to contact you with questions, how would they contact, or who would they contact?
Mike Williams and Harold Napoleon are currently the official spokespeople for Nunavut.
Okay, and how would people reach them to ask questions?
I don't have their phone numbers off the top of my head.
Okay.
If they have questions on they read the KYUK's news release that was put out at the very bottom of that that story, there's a link.
Oh, thank you. Okay, that's what you meant.
At link bottom. To our press release, and at the bottom of the press release is where you can find Mike Williams' phone number.
Got it. Okay, so I'm gonna when I post this recording on the KYUK Facebook KYUK Talkline Facebook page, I will I will lay that out so that people can easily get through the links.
Okay.
Well, did you want to say anything else? We're gonna have to wrap up for the 5 minutes, but
I got nothing else. But you guys have a safe weekend.
Yeah, I'm so glad you called. And hello to Kweethluk from Diane. All right. All right, bye. Okay. All right, we have a couple of callers lined up. It's good to see women are calling. Sharon, welcome to Talkline. Good morning.
Hello. This is Sharon Tikuchin calling from 4-H.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, coming right after he was talking, how fortunate we are to be working with the youth in Bethel. We think that's an amazing thing. That's our powerful future right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to let everybody know that during the Bethel Fair, the coming weekend of the 25th, 26th, and 27th, 4-H will be having Kids Day at the fair. We are having a fair which is by kids and for kids. We'll have carnival booths over here, which our talented 4-H kids will be setting up. We have lunch with the lamb from 11:30, maybe to 12:30, to 1 o'clock. People can feed the lamb that we have here in Bethel.
Wait, you have a lamb.
We have a lamb.
Oh, my
yes,
gosh. No, what is the future of the lamb?
Who has a lamb?
Oh,
who's going to eat that lamb?
The lamb. Okay, here's what happened. A 4-H lady from Palmer, she raises lamb for 4-H. And she had mentioned to Rhonda, because she was coming out for shooting sports training, she said, I could bring you a lamb. I think we kind of laughed, right?
Yeah.
But since the Cravens, Josh Craven, has had pig last year. So we said, hey, we should ask the Cravens if they want a lamb. And they had the idea, you know, ideally you would get a couple of lambs and breed them and do the whole lamb thing. Although a pig is way easier to take care of in Bethel. The lamb maybe has extra challenges because it needs to eat grass or fodder.
Right. Now, what's the future for the lamb? After it gets pet and pet and pet?
The lamb. Yeah, like the idea. Okay, so here's what. Actually, the future of the lamb is a tiny bit bleak because it's a little more expensive to raise a lamb and than it was to raise a pig. But since Diane Chung has a lemonade club with youth entrepreneurs, and they have been raising money selling lemonade mostly.
Yes.
So they thought they would like to put their entrepreneur power to good use and try to fundraise for the lamb so that it can eat all winter.
Where's the lamb housed?
It is at the Cravens, which is
Cravens,
at Thunder Ridge.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Really, a lot of kids go by there, so he doesn't mind us saying that publicly.
Yeah.
So the kids just come by, take a look at the lamb. On the fair, we will have a little Feed the Lamb booth. We have little tickets, 25 cents a piece for the tickets, and they can get a little cup. That's what I did at the fair when I was growing up.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so there's going to be a mini petting zoo at the Bethel Fair with one lamb. Receiving all of the pets.
We might put the guinea pig
out there. Oh, the guinea pig. The petting zoo with the guinea pig. You know, I have an aquarium of fish.
Do you want to bring them too?
Yeah, we'll just have like a whole menagerie there.
I have three dogs and
This is growing, Sharon.
Yard full of rabbits.
Oh, we're excited. We're gonna bring stuff.
Okay. Well, call us first.
Maybe we can have an animal show.
543-2088. We do have some 4-H kids with chickens. I know when we had the lamb before, they did really want to bring their chickens also. We didn't take them up on it. But who knows? You know, we have a whole yard out there.
Well, so I appreciate all that the 4-H does for our youth. So, Koyanakfa, Sharon, for calling and sharing.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else before we go?
That's pretty much it. We hope you'll be excited and come over on the 25th.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon.
All right. Yep, thanks.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Next we have Ruth. Good morning, Ruth. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. This is Gauka Kuzivan. I'm from Bethel.
Uh-huh.
I'm calling in regards to the Kuskokwim fishermen here in our delta. The commercial fisherman who hasn't commercial fished for 2 years now. We really need to get together, have a meeting, and write a letter to our senators. This is outrageous because prices are going up everywhere, and it, like Joe said, everything costs, and the commercial fishermen really need to get together and call a disaster, write a letter to the governor. Some people buy boats and motors, and they rely on commercial fishing to pay for them, and some don't have jobs in the villages. So someone needs to initiate it. Get it started. I'm for the people that don't have jobs. I'm for people that really need help in this, because they do have to pay for their houses and water costs now in the villages, because they have hauled water, and some people are overcrowded. They don't have homes. I hear people staying. This is United States. This isn't some third world country. This area is the United States. We need to do something about it. We can't just sit down and wait. We have to do this. I know Mr. Waska is for this, so. Because he did a call-in last Monday, we need to do something about it. Hello?
Yeah. No, we're listening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I need help. We need a place to meet and talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
If someone can call me and... we'll find a place for us, 545-2368. My son has a permit. My husband has a permit. And someone needs to go ahead and do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, We just can't sit around and we do nothing about it.
Yeah.
We do need to do this.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I speak it in Yupik?
Say yes. You have about two minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Kuyuk naksa kakut commercial fisherman nani. Governor Aki Kakalugu, State Senator Aki Kakaluki, fishing disaster after the 2 years that Kufi Aksai Mutman. Kinakan serious Akno Nibirla, phone number 545-2368, Ikayak Lutapin Nakhtukut. Okay, thank you.
Kuyana for calling Ruth.
Okay,
thank you, Ruth. Bye.
Okay, next we have an anonymous caller. Welcome to Talkline, Anonymous.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I am going to respond to the previous caller, the guy who was talking about that convention stuff.
Oh, Nunavut? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, my concern is that these group of people, last week I called about this group of people,
mm-hmm.
They are inappropriately doing all this stuff, and they're not supposed, when they have from the 56 villages, they've been trying to get a meeting going on here in Bethel,
mm-hmm.
but all the time they don't come up with quorum from the villages,
mm-hmm.
and they're still trying to start that regional government still. Last year, Chalista and CVRC was involved in trying to, you know, discussion. They went down to Seattle to have meetings. We saw their pictures on the Delta Discovery. And those are the same group of people that are in the same issue, you know, trying to create the convention. Trying to create the regional government anyway. But there is a problem. You know, they're not doing it the right way. In the first place, when they don't have no quorum in a meeting, they're not supposed to have no actions or plans like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, voting in November, in the election time, we're going to send out papers. No, they cannot do that. There's not supposed to be no actions or plans. Then, in this case, when there is no quorum in a meeting like this,
mm-hmm.
if there is no quorum, that meeting becomes like a regular information. I would call it an informational meeting because without a quorum, they cannot do actions, plans, nothing, you know. And I don't trust this voting system that they're trying to put out because I heard one of them, I'm not going to name him, but we had a conversation with him. He said like this, we're trying to find somehow, some way to organize this organization, you know, the regional government. We're going to do it somehow, one way or the other. This guy was saying, telling me, I was like, wait, really? Mm-hmm. But it's been going on 40 years now because over the years it's been inappropriately approached, you know, like I always say. And, excuse me, and, to top of it, this year they come up with this voting thing. They're going to make the people vote. Who told them to do that? Without a quorum, nobody, like I said, nobody's supposed to do no actions or plans for those kind of things to happen. And I don't trust this voting system because there's hackers. They can, just like the list of, they cheat on the doggone votes voting system. They cheat. Who knows? These guys are going to cheat and say, we made it. We finally made it. No, there's not supposed to be no voting, nothing done for this year. And if I do, you know, I need to get this across to a lot of people. I know most people understand me.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, am I still there?
Yeah. Yes. Can I ask a question?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, so is it your concern that there's forward motion without 56 village representation
quorum.
And without
no.
all of, and then are you, would you, maybe part of the thing is for them to try to have this vote so that they can see if 56 villages
yes.
or how many have want to buy into this or be a part of this.
But my bottom line is they're not supposed to have no like actions,
plans, nothing done yet.
Okay, so they...
They're not supposed to be doing nothing at all since the previous meetings they tried to have, you know, like last week. They didn't have no quorum. Last year they didn't, March, they didn't have quorum. A lot of people, a lot of villages don't want, you know, like I said, how are we going to trust these kind of same group of people that are trying this because there's so many mishaps, you know, too many mishaps already. And I for one, don't trust them. Yeah, it's a good vision, the best vision I ever, you know, but there's already programs available, you know, and I think they're doing a good job.
Yeah, I've heard that some people say maybe this would have been an initiative to have 40 years ago.
Yeah,
before we already
developed.
They're
not doing it the right way. I remember back in the early 70s, it started off with Yupik Nation. That's where it's called. And then Yupik Nation, now with something else. You know, it keep changing what kind of convention this is. I would call this an informational meeting, not a convention. It's not no convention.
Okay.
You know? Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. We have Wilson. Good morning, Wilson. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning, there, happy people.
There you are. All right.
I just wanted to say that it's really a nice day today and a good day to be positive. And I'd like to thank that... Police chief, notice I thanked him, okay? I know you noticed. I know the whole town and region noticed, but, yeah, you know, I did the restraining order on the person and took care of important issues, you know. I really want to say that the police chief has a big task of trying to straighten things out with the Bethel Police Department, and hopefully... They will have protocols and set in place for how to do things properly for the safety of the people that they're serving. And that's me and you. And in the past, I don't think they were really doing much when it comes to trying to protect the people. You know, like this week, just a couple of days ago, I thought this person got arrested for assault. He really wanted to hurt my daughter, my wife, and myself. And the police officer asked, what do you guys want to do? And I said, press charges. I want to charge him with assault. And it seemed like he would have still been in jail until court because he's a violent person. But no, I don't know, maybe they just brought him around the corner and dropped him off because that's the police procedure around here. You don't take someone to jail or protective custody. You bring them around the corner and drop them off.
Now, Wilson, have you seen that happen?
Yeah, I've seen it happen a lot.
And
even
that
incident with that kid that they had a whole town search for that one kid. You know, the mother got dropped off. She didn't. They didn't take her to protective custody. Then they didn't take the kid to protective custody, and it became a big issue. Only after they failed to do their job. Anyway, I was trying to thank the police chief for giving me directions on how to take care of a restraining order matter.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm trying to be positive because we can't always make ourselves a target because that's what I do every Friday. You know, when I talk about the Bethel Police Department, state troopers, or whoever, people in the community said, man, you're making yourself a big target. They're going to go after you. For what? You know, I have the freedom of speech just like everybody else, as long as I maintain my... I'm civil about it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. I still have to meet with you sometime. I got caught up.
I've got the paperwork. Just come to my office. You
know? And I do want to take care of that one credit and give encouragement to people out there. So however long it's been, 5 years, 10 years,
yes.
Your credits are your credits.
Yeah.
They won't go away. You can continue to work on and get a degree in something. So
your college credits, yeah.
Yeah, college credits, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'm looking forward to meeting with you so I can take care of my one credit. that makes it possible for me to get my certificate. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Have a great day. Okay, we have Grady from the Bethel Library, and then we have another caller right after that.
All right, I'm going to try to go as without going too fast. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Library is excited about all of the activities. Today we have a regularly scheduled Lego club at 4. That's every Friday.
A what club?
Legos.
Oh, Legos
for the kiddos.
Yeah, I thought you thought he said legal club.
I love Legos.
Legos. Okay.
And we know, as I mentioned last week, you know, our story activity time at 3 p.m. on Saturdays is ramped up. This week we're excited about giving away 2 bicycles as part of our bike raffle. It was a reading program. There's still some time for kids to get their raffle tickets in, one for each book that they read. They just have to come into the library and fill out the paperwork. And we'll be talking about bike safety and reading Pedal Power, which is a children's book about Amsterdam activists and bicycling. The film for this month, which will be showing on August 18th at 6 p.m., is My Neighbor Totoro. It's an anime film, and that's free to the public, and there'll be popcorn provided. We always have adult coloring and craft time at 4:30 on Saturdays.
Adult coloring. Now, wait just a minute there.
Yeah.
You're not. It's adult. Not adult content. It's adults coloring.
Not at all. Yeah,
that's
adult coloring.
Fun.
Kind of meditation. We've had some people bring in felt craft and do some other crafts. And earlier in the day on Saturdays, there's a crochet and sewing craft cohort that meets around noon to 2, and that's a quiet adult activity here in the library in the Alaska Room.
Yeah.
Thursday mornings at 10, we have PC instruction. So that's outside the regular library hours. If people want to take advantage of that, they just show up at 10. We provide coffee and one-on-one instruction on computer proficiency. And we also provide that one-on-one if someone wants to schedule that by appointment as well. And the last thing I'll mention about the library, we're real excited about finishing up our second cohort of young teens in an animation class, which is a precursor to a computer club that we'll be launching in the coming weeks. So anybody who's interested in finding out about the computer club for teens or any of the other activities that I mentioned, they can call the library at 543-4516. And I can't rush off because the Bethel Fair is coming up, and I'm organizing that too. So can I have a little bit more time?
Oh, yeah, you have a little bit. You have a few more minutes.
Great. Okay, so everyone here at the Cultural Center, Leif at the Cooperative Extension, and Renee, we're really excited about hosting the Bethel Community Fair. It was a hiatus last year, but we're excited about revisiting the fair, and we have a lineup of activities scheduled. Thursday the 24th at 5 p.m. is the deadline for photographs to be entered. And Diane, your macro photographs got to get in there.
I know. I'm going to get them printed.
Okay. And there are some specifications there. I have flyers around town, but we're accepting 5x7s and 8x10s. And for the photo contest, contact Mary Weiss at 545-3211. And, of course, I'll be giving out a phone number for myself at the end here,
okay,
so anyone can call with any information. There's a Friday, the 25th, is a 5 p.m. deadline for all entrants for the regular fair entrance, okay? Now, that 5 p.m. deadline will be here for adults and at the 4-H Teen Center for children. And at 6 p.m. on Friday, the 25th, there'll be a cribbage tournament. For information about the cribbage tournament, people want to reach out to Casey at 545-4415. There will be prizes for that. And by the way, all of these activities are being sponsored by Darling Gold. And I'm excited to say that on Saturday, when we open up the exhibits from 10 a.m. until 10 p.m., because I'll be doing Bethel Live in the evening. So during Saturday market, there'll be the exhibit space set up. And here at the Cultural Center will be the regular Saturday market. But meanwhile,
okay,
at the
you're gonna have to wind up here.
Okay. Meanwhile, at the 4-H Center, they'll be doing kids activities all day.
Is there a central location that someone could go and see everything that's going on? Because it's a little hard to track all of these
Right, I'm going to make it. So there'll be a complete schedule of events. There's going to be stuff happening at the Lions Club, at the Fire Station, at the 4-H Teen Center, at the Fitness Center, and here at the Cultural Center.
Will it be in the Delta Discovery as well, all these happenings?
Yeah, I have 2 weeks. So the schedule will be finalized today, and it'll be published tomorrow in as many places as we can get it out. You'll be seeing some large format posters around town.
Now, these are, when we're talking about a schedule, we're talking about an array of things: library, 4-H, cultural center, Bethel Fair. I mean, these are a whole. Are you doing media for everything that is happening in Bethel? Is that what this is?
No, right now I'm just calling for the library and the fair.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
More if you don't have.
The 4-H is excited about their lineup on Saturday, the 27th, the 26th. They're going to be there from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. They have a lamb there.
No, we got the 4-H. Yeah. Announcements already. So
okay,
we're
and then Sunday
that.
The 27th, we'll have a field day here at the fire station at 11 a.m. and then food for who knows up to 400 at 1 p.m. here at the cultural center, and then the fire station will be doing tours at 2 p.m.
Okay, that's it.
That's the story. My number is 543-4548. Any questions at all, or judges, or volunteers?
Okay,
543-4548.
Okay, thank you, Grady.
Thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, my gosh, that was a lot.
A lot of fun.
Okay, next we have Mike. Thank you for waiting, Mike. You're on Talk Line.
Yeah, good morning. This is Mike. I want to give a brief update on Nunavut Provisional Government.
That would be great.
Meeting that we had on August 1-2-3. I really appreciate it, Chief Ivan Ivan, for... chairing that as pro tem for that meeting that we called for in April, and the notices went out to all of the tribal governments throughout the region, and this issue of regional governance have been discussed for about 40 years. Mm-hmm. And we had, I know that we had prior constitutional conventions and also the direction by the elders after looking at, what the status we have in the region. I know that we have nonprofit 501c3 corporations here that we authorized as tribes to organize back in 70s, and we also organized YKC through tribal resolutions and AVCP Housing Authority, and it all derived from the need to improve health services, the need to improve housing, the need to improve the quality of life in our villages. And I think that was a really good move. I like to thank Harold Napoleon for helping organize the meeting, along with some of the other individuals that volunteered as steering committee that took the directive by the elders way back some 40 years. And I think with the past directives by the leaders here, we've been taking a look at first class, second class, third class boroughs before in the studies, and they were, we took a look at those, and I think, those other options were looked at: the home rule, the constitutional government by the tribes, and we just did not think about this overnight. It took a long time to come to the point where the options for the tribal governments, if they wish, and the tribal citizens from each village will decide whether to move forward or not in November.
So,
and I just really appreciated those tribes that made an effort to come to the convention. And I know that a lot of tribes could not make it due to the storms that we had. But we, the attendees, the delegates, elected Chairton Ipchuk from Kwikluk to chair the provisional government, and also the secretary, Nikki Hoffman, from Bethel. And we're going to be scheduling, trying to be scheduling a time with KYUK and the draft, the agreed to treaty by each tribe among themselves, and we're going to be sending that out to each tribe for their consideration, and it will be up to them to allow the vote in each community to happen in November, and it will be up to each tribal citizen to say yes or no to you know, to establish the constitutional government that will have legislative, judicial, and executive branch in a governance that that I think this country mirrored the Iroquois Nation. Mm-hmm. And but it will be up to the tribal citizens of each community to decide if the tribal governments decide to allow that vote to happen in each community. So so I like to have time for Chairton Ipchuk, Nikki Hoffman, Harold Napoleon, and myself to schedule a time so we can have a thorough conversation to KYUK or with others. But we're going to be sending out that information as a result of that Nunavut provisional government
How many of
meeting
the
that we had.
And how many of the 56 villages will have to vote yes to this in order to launch it? Will you need a certain amount of
each
villages?
No, each tribe will decide that, and it will be for, there's 56 tribes in the region, and each tribal citizen will vote to decide whether to move forward or not from each of the tribes.
Oh, right. I just wondered how many tribes would you need to be on board? What number?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Those tribes that decide to move forward will move forward with the with a government, and you know, I think you know, I think the goal is that that if and when you know, if there is a borough formation, then each community will be exempted from that, and that will be our request for exemption.
Okay.
But I think with the issue of many communities don't have any public safety, and we're dealing with the issue.
What happened? Did he get cut off? Okay, well, that was the time allotment anyway. Thank you, Mike Williams, for calling in, and KYUK will sponsor a call-in show with the leadership of the Nunavut Nation group. And more questions will be asked and answered, I'm sure, at that time. Carolyn, are you going to read an email? Okay, so we have a caller, Wesley. Thank you for waiting, Wesley.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, there was a lady before me called saying there were 13 villages initiating the Nunavut.
Yep.
Wasn't there 13 colonies beginning what is now the United States?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last part. Your voice was a little muffled.
The question wasn't there 13 colonies beginning what is now the United States?
Oh, yes. Oh, the colonies,
okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that sounds good, though. I believe the Nunavut will be good for natives in the Waikato Delta, united with one constitution. When Nunavut is established, it will be great for each native as having the right to run for office, to use their education to help other tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And each tribal member will have a vote instead of the council voting for the president. Tribal member in the villages will be voting for the elected officials. And that is great.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about government under state, villages or city, the deadline for to be eligible for revenue sharing and PILT are in June 1. So if your council has not completed a budget by June 1, I'm sure the city will not be eligible. So that is why it is important to vote the literate in your communities who are running for the city council.
Okay.
Is that clear?
That makes sense.
That's all. Thank you.
Oh, okay,
say
Wesley.
Bye.
Thank you. I had a question, but I think we're kind of running out of time, and we have one more caller. Roy, welcome to Talkline, Roy.
Yeah, good morning. I just like anything else, there's pros and cons with anything, especially when we don't understand or fair or not have enough information in reference to something mm-hmm. we tend to object decide on not really going for something that could be beneficial for the region. And I'm very excited just from the standpoint of having a personal, individual, and local community representation and voice through the organization that is organized, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
Nunavut.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that I was really trying to express to the people that are listening, what we're going through now is kind of like a repeat of 1940s with a major leadership, Make America Great Again. It's like first. It happened in a similar event back in the early 1940s around that area
mm-hmm.
when it was the early stages with similar great economic inequality created by a political party that is really striving to war. Hello?
Yes, still here listening.
Yeah, really attempting to cut the people's voices, like we the people, by we the corporations are people party. So when there's an imbalance, it creates economic despair because, like in this current occasion that we're experiencing, we have no voice, and he's doing everything he can to cut any type of programs that is nationally beneficial for people that are from all ages and different economic. And I believe with your interest in democracy and history, you could begin to see and experience and it's like It's like seeing the scenery from the back, history to current now, and able to see the whys and the what instigated what we're going through. So it's nothing really new.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
we have to wrap up here. Your 5 minutes. Sorry,
yeah.
Roy.
Anyway,
thank you.
I'm really curious how people would respond to that. Have a good day. Thank
okay.
You.
Thank you, Roy. And we have a 1 minute left for Shaddy with YK Fitness. No, he's no more. He has left the call line. So we're just going to close up. We've got 60 seconds. And wow.
That was a very busy talk show today.
That went fast.
Can I voice one more thing here?
Yes.
I almost got hit by a four-wheeler the other day.
No.
Please, everyone, there's no need for a speed in this town. Please slow down on the roads and be careful for pedestrians and people walking their dogs. And no need for a speed. Drive slow. Be safe. Have a wonderful weekend.
And try that 15 miles an hour in the neighborhoods. Just experiment.
Yes,
just try it out and see. And you know what? If you slow down, you're going to notice some more flowers in yards. You're going to feel relieved that you didn't cause dust to stir up for elders and kids who have asthma. I mean, there's a lot of pros.
Yes.
To exploring the neighborhood at a slower pace.
No need for speed. Be safe. Slow down. Our roads aren't made for speed, for sure. So everyone be safe and have a wonderful weekend.
Yes. Goodbye.